You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Oh, my goodness, folks. Saw some crazy stuff I'll have to tell you about in just a second. Chris Gregory's was talking about the herd, the human herd, the flock that we are a part of, whether we like it or not. I remember a friend of mine talking about this a while ago, using the herd as an illustration, as a metaphor. I think there's a term for it. It might be something like the outrider horses. But the idea is that when you're in a herd as a horse, all you see is the herd. Right? You're surrounded by other horses. You can't exactly, peer over them. You don't have binoculars. So all you see are the other horses, and that's all you have to go by, except for the outriders, except for the people on the edge, except for the people on the fringes. I think Greg Reese even used that term, the fringes, right? It's those horses on the outside that are not in the middle, not surrounded by the herd, but out in the dangerous fringe. They're the ones that see the danger first, and they're the ones that warn the rest of the herd to get away from it. And the rest of the herd, they might not even know what the danger is. But they have to be directed by the outriders. And right now, our enemies, the wolves, the coyotes hunting our herd, are systematically eliminating the outriders. They're eliminating those on the fringes, not surrounded and blinded by the rest of the herd, but actually able to, see the horizon and look out for danger. Well, they're the ones being eliminated right now, meaning that the danger will be that much more successful in their hunt. And then I was just looking up, I was trying to find the term, right? I think it may be outrider, you get what it means, but I think there's like an actual term for this. Like it's a role that certain, in a herd of horses, like certain horses are the ones that are on the fringe. They're the fringe, herd riders that watch for everybody. And so funny, I just found this article from happyhorsetraining.com. And with dashes in between. And it's just so funny the way they describe the herd, and it just sounds like they're describing humanity. And this was the thing that Jordan Peterson sort of got famous pointing out, is that, human hierarchies are not some invention of civilization. They exist in nature to a degree that is eerie, almost, like how perfectly they align. A few key points on herd dynamics that are useful to understand. One, horses like to have a leader. Some horses are passive and don't want to move any further up the pecking order, and so accept a leader willingly. Others will try to catch you off guard in order to move up the pecking order and become leader. Horses are habitual and enjoy routine. When a human takes the leader's role, it's their job to keep the horses safe, watered, and able to participate in mutual activities like sleeping, grooming, or side-by-side walking. Horses with very strong bonds often physically position themselves in each other's heart areas, the area of the body running from the head to just behind the shoulders. This seems to be an acceptable area to communicate from. Conflicts are resolved by an instant reprimand from the leader. The leader then becomes passive straight after the reprimand and resumes what they were doing before. They don't hold grudges. Horses are social and enjoy interacting with others and have a natural instinct to keep moving forward. And like every herd has two leaders, a male leader and a female leader. The female leader stays at the front, leading the herd of where to go, and the male, the stallion leader, stays at the back and makes sure nobody falls behind. I don't know if there's any wisdom to glean from that, but I do think it's very interesting. And when the hierarchy gets disturbed, the herd ceases to exist. These hierarchies are in place for a reason. And you can't have two leaders of the same herd going in different directions and have the herd survive. Very interesting. I find it interesting anyway. Now, I'm going to actually play a longer video here because I want to play the whole thing. And it's something that we brought up yesterday because it broke during our show. I have the story here somewhere. Here it is. New York Post wrote an article on it. Top Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office spokesperson blasts D.A. Bragg over Trump prosecution in secret meeting. quote, the case is nonsense. So this is Nicholas Baez, I think. Baez. Chief spokesman for the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office was secretly recorded tearing into progressive prosecutor during a recent conversation with a so-called undercover operative from conservative podcaster Steven Crowder's Mug Club, saying, honestly, I think this case is nonsense. This clip and another from August 14th were released by Crowder on social media Thursday. The identity of the woman who secretly recorded the exchange wasn't made public. The Post has not reviewed the full unedited recordings. But this is one of those situations where we've gone from desperately trying to point out the obvious and finding it extremely frustrating how unwilling people are to see with their own eyes what's going on very clearly, the dangerous activities of the authorities in our country. And you move from warning about this and talking about this and desperately trying to get people to recognize this to the people doing it actually admitting it on camera and still nothing really being done. It's incredibly frustrating. And like this might be a signal that like the age of revelation has passed. Like for a long time, InfoWars and our purpose has been to try to tell people about stuff they didn't know and isn't made public. Now it's all public. Now it's all out there. It's out in the open. The revelation has come. The awareness has broken through. Now it's time to do something about it. Now it's time to put the awareness into action. Because if these people get away with this, like, that's it. For democracy, for the republic, for humanity itself. If people can be caught on camera saying, yes, we are politically persecuting our opponent to cripple him in a campaign, and they aren't arrested and jailed, and the case isn't thrown out, guess what they're going to do 100 times more immediately following this next election? It's extremely troubling, I have to say, that any of this is even happening, but especially that nothing is being done about it. So we'll go to a good chunk of this. The whole thing's 13 minutes. You can find it at the Mug Club and on Steven Crowder's X. DOJ Chief of Public Affairs admits Trump indictments are politically motivated perversion of justice. Let's watch.
He's stacking charges and rearranging things just to make the case nonsense. It's a perversion of justice.
To make him a convict, a convicted felon. They will tax his candidacy if he's a convicted felon.
It's a travesty of justice, a mockery of justice.
Let me be clear about something on the outset. The person you'll be watching today is not the bad guy here. Unwitting whistleblower? Yeah. Nicholas Biasi is the chief of public affairs for the Department of Justice's Southern District of New York. Something you may be familiar with, and the most prominent federal trial court in America.
Those felonies did nothing to stop Trump from running.
No, in fact, they made him more relevant.
Did that backfire?
Sure did.
And the whole thing is disgusting. They're just out to get him.
And that's why, like, the surging of the police. You know, it's a perversion of justice. Yeah. He was stacking charges and rearranging things just to make it fit a case. No, to be honest with you, I think the case is nonsense.
State levels are wild west. They're like idiots. They don't care. They're all political. So yeah, this guy's probably going to try to lock him up. And there is going to be, it's going to be ugly. They're so obsessed with getting him.
Who is they?
Albert, yeah. Who I've known for 15 years. He used to work in my office. Before he decided to prosecute Trump, did you know who he was? I do now. I'm not sure what he wants to be, but I know he's not happy just being the DA in New York County. So now he's very ambitious. Every real estate person in New York does what he did. Nobody's ever been charged with this.
Mr. Biasi is just saying the quiet part out loud. The part that unfortunately matters. Lawfare? Yes. Why? Because Biasi openly says so. The ones from Alvin Bragg are a particular perversion of justice. How do you know? Because Biasi says so, and he's known him for 15 years. Election interference? At this point, is there any doubt?
Stacking charges and like, rearranging things just to make it fit a case. No, to be honest with you, I think the case is nonsense. Every real estate person in New York does what he did. Nobody's ever been charged with this. It's all him. And that's why like, the surgery of the politics. You know, it's a perversion of justice.
Those felonies did nothing to stop Trump from running.
No, in fact, they made him more relevant.
Did that backfire?
Sure did.
And that was that Alvin Bragg's choice to do that? Or why?
Because Alvin's very ambitious.
What do you mean?
He wants to be, something. I don't know what. Mayor. I'm not sure what he wants to be, but I know he's not happy just being the DA in New York County. So this is, like, before he decided to prosecute Trump, did you know who he was? You do now.
What was the point of even doing it then?
To make him a convict.
To make him what?
A convicted felon.
What if he can still run for presidency and...
Yeah, but it affects his candidacy if he's a convicted felon.
I was trying to count the laws, and I was like, I wonder, like, how many are against him. I think it's called lawfare.
Yes.
That's what I have gathered from that.
That is what they call it.
So how does this... even happen? How can it happen? How can the local and state level courts try President Trump with more ease and less red tape than the federal courts? That doesn't seem right to the uninitiated, but you are the uninitiated. Good thing Biasi isn't.
I mean, at the federal level where I work, there is a 90-day rule where you can't make any decisions on cases that are going to affect an election. That rule does not apply at the state level because the state level is like wild west. They're like idiots. They don't care. They're all political. So yeah, this guy's probably going to try to lock him up. And there is going to be, it's going to be ugly. They're so obsessed with getting him. Different system, like the state level and the federal level are like night and day. It's hard to explain, but like there are so many more rules in the federal level, and they're like the threshold for a crime is so much higher. Like I said, it's like the state level is like the wild west of law. It's like very lack of a better term, unregulated. Less checks and balances.
And I know, I know what you're thinking. I thought it too. Well, you're talking about one case or two or 19. Hey, if it's local, you break the rules, you pay the piper, or even if you don't, if you're President Trump, pay the piper. But there are other cases in the country. There are a lot of them. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? What about the Georgia electoral interference case, right, that Donald Trump is currently having to face under Fannie Willis, right? The Fulton County District Attorney, who was caught having an affair with the main squeeze, I mean, special prosecutor Nathan Wade.
So is that the strategy against Trump? Just hit him with all the legal battles all across, like the Fannie Willis, Georgia stuff. What do you think about that case?
It's a travesty of justice. To put it mildly, it's a mockery of justice. She is a joke. Like, her and her boyfriend, she was seeing, the whole thing is disgusting.
I guess at this point, the only argument left is why should you trust anything Biasi has to say? Let me make the case. Biasi is an expert. Despite how the media is going to try and spin this, he is an authoritative voice as the chief of public affairs for the Department of Justice's Southern District of New York. This man knows the players, he knows the game, and he knows that it is rigged.
Who's that? Alvin Bragg.
Who I've known for 15 years. Mm-hmm. He used to work in my office. Mm-hmm. So here's us, here's Alvin, you know, he's county level, and he decided to do the case.
Yeah.
And Michael Cohen is mm-hmm. their star witness who we prosecuted.
Okay.
You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
That guy's psycho. He mm-hmm. calls me.
And he records. What does he want with you?
He's like, he's got this thick New York accent. He's like, oh, is this Nicholas Biasi, the chief of public affairs? And I'm like, yeah, this is me. He's like, this is Michael Cohen. Why won't you guys, vacate my conviction? And I'm like, I'm not authorized to speak to victims or defendants,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a pretty good answer, not knowing who was calling. And he was like, well, who can he speak to? And I was like, the media. And he goes, I have one of the biggest podcasts in New York. But I kind of didn't believe him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're still a defendant, and that precludes me from talking to you.
I've known Alvin for 15 years.
Like, how well do you know him?
I used to work with him for 10 years.
You guys have dinner together, hung out?
No, we weren't best friends.
Okay.
But I mean, like, if I see him, we're like, I mean, we know each other really well, but like, do I respect what he's doing? No. Is he a nice guy?
Yeah. What about like the other people you work with? Do they know it's all a political perversion?
Yes.
Trump stuff?
Yeah.
Well, we deferred on all this stuff.
What do you mean?
We investigated and, you know, decided that, for one thing, there is precedent that you can't indict a sitting president.
You cannot.
You cannot.
Okay.
There is an Office of Legal Affairs rule that you cannot indict a sitting president. It's just too disruptive for the country. So we didn't. But the DA did.
Again, it's important to remember that Biasi is not the bad guy here. I know you're probably mad. Lawfare is a thing. And it's not only happened to Donald Trump, it's happened to many of you watching or listening right now. Some of you don't even know it yet. You don't live in a free country simply because you have laws. You only live in a free country if the laws are applied equally. Otherwise, the law is not a tool to protect a free people, it's used as a weapon to bludgeon the people who perhaps think wrongly. What is the media going to say here? And it's a good thing that this is part of an ongoing series every single week between now and election night.
See, I have to sort of disagree with Stephen Crowder there. This guy is the enemy. This guy is the enemy. And I'll tell you why. Now, on one hand, I get what Steven Crowder's saying, that clearly this guy is not okay with what's going on. Kind of. I mean, that's what he says. So why didn't he resign? Why didn't he go to the media? Why didn't he make a big stink out of it? Why didn't he call up Fox News, call up the local New York media and say, I am holding a press conference. I'm the spokesperson for the district attorney. And I want to speak to the New York media at 12 o'clock on Tuesday. They'll show up. They'll bring cameras. They'll provide live feeds. You can stream it yourself. And if everything he said here in this, you know, dingy bar under to an undercover reporter had instead been said in public as an announcement, as part of a resignation, where he said what's happening here is political, is a perversion of the law, is a purely political move, then he'd be a hero. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't go public. He's a coward. He is the exact type of person that evil relies on to stay quiet and to bow their head and to roll their eyes while evil people destroy our system of government. What else would this guy put up with? I mean, I can see the same type of conversations happening about execution squads going around. Well, no, it's total perversion. It's totally wrong. No, these people are innocent. I'm not going to say anything, though. No, I'll quietly be complicit. But it's wrong. But it's bad. If this guy had an ounce of honor, legitimacy, you know, if he wasn't crushed by cowardice and fear, he could have stopped this process in its tracks. And it would have been the right thing to do. And he knows it would have been the right thing to do. So why didn't he do it? As somebody who knows Alvin Bragg for 15 years, has seen in his own eyes, I wrote down some of the quotes, talking about how everybody in the office are, quote, idiots. They don't care. They're all political. And he sounds like an info warrior. He sounds like somebody who sounds like he hosts the American Journal on InfoWars. He's saying everything that we say, verbatim almost. So I explained it yesterday. You've got three types of people in the world. You can break it down into the supervillains who know exactly what they're doing, the superheroes like us who also know what the bad guys are doing and are against it, but the vast majority of the population are NPCs who just have no idea and go along with whatever. This guy's a supervillain. This guy knows what's going on and he doesn't stop it. He doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't stick his neck out whatsoever. So I'm glad they caught him undercover. You know, in a way, maybe it's better that he's not one of the people that's like, oh yeah, it is lawfare and it's awesome and we're going to destroy him. Sure. He's better than like the open, blatant tyrants. But he's the Quisling. He's the person necessary for tyrants to succeed. He should have stood up and called this out. He would have been a hero. The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWars.